For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas, you've just crossed over into
the home team.
And here we go.
All right, kicking into hour number two, the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff, we are with you tonight up until, I guess, 6:40 this evening. That's when the Braves and Reds start. In Cincinnati.
All right, say it like you mean it. It's exciting Atlanta Braves
exciting
baseball.
Exciting Atlanta Braves baseball.
By the way, Dave and I were talking about this coming in with the Braves and the Reds. When I think back to the TBS days of the 80s, when you had 150 games on, I mean, the only night they weren't on Monday nights because there was a no-compete with Monday Night Baseball. Basically, 27 of your 81 road games were on the West Coast. So we all love the Braves' West Coast games. I seem to remember Atlanta playing the Reds more than any other team.
And Claudio Washington v. Mario Soto was a good one.
That would be a good one. But when you think about the old NL West, you had the three California teams, the Padres, the Giants, and the Dodgers. And then you had the Braves, and then you had the Reds and the Astros. So for just, you know, regular primetime watching or a Saturday afternoon, odds are it was going to be the Reds or the Astros. I just remember the Braves playing the Reds a bunch.
Yeah, I remember the Reds a lot, and then for whatever reason the Cardinals too. Even though the Cardinals were actually in the other division, though.
Yeah, but so you're still playing them 12 times.
Yeah, they would make multiple appearances, and
it's nice
instead of just one trip and it's done.
Do you think we can contract back to 26 teams, have 14 in the AL, 12 in the NL?
Probably not going to happen.
Okay,
although it might be something that baseball would consider with a few of these franchises they've got.
I was thinking about this. We ran into one of the great legends at Ole Miss. His son played there, and his grandsons are starting shortstop now, is a Don Kessinger, who was an All-American baseball player at Ole Miss, and he was a shortstop for the Cubs, played in the big leagues from 64 to 79, and just chatting with him, he's just the nicest guy. And I mean, when he first came up with the Cubs, I was like, boy, you really couldn't be a slouch back then because there were only eight teams in each league. So,
yeah. Helped you become familiar with the other pitchers, I guess, though.
But, I mean, you think how many, like, really good players never made the majors or were just sitting on the bench for a long time? You only had 16 teams.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, you know, it expanded a little bit. I guess when the Mets came in 62 and then – trying to think the way it went then. There was a slow expansion there, and then eventually got to 26, which they stayed at for a while until, let's see, with the Marlins and Rockies, was it 92, 93? Was that when they first came in?
Somewhere in that neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, but we were on 26 for a while.
Marlins have won two World Series, though.
That's incredible. They won more World Series than the Braves.
Yes, they have.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It is. It's not right.
No, not at all.
But it is a fact. They have won that Braves dynasty, one World Series. Marlins, two. And that wouldn't even be categorized as a dynasty. That was just these two weird good teams they had.
No, it was crazy. And now they've just sold out again.
Yeah. Well, all that Giancarlo Stanton's been doing, though, is getting booed and striking out in the Bronx.
Striking out too much. It's a bad contract.
But, I don't know. The Red Sox got no hit over the weekend, so maybe that'll be a good sign.
It's a
They'll start to lose.
Season. It's just a long season.
Yeah. I mean, it's still April.
It's a long season.
Yeah. The Phillies have been to Atlanta twice already, and they'll be back the weekend Georgia plays Tennessee.
In football,
correct.
Not in baseball, we play this week.
This week, yes. All right, time for the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, G-Day in spring practice now has another spring practice cycle has passed us. What do you take from it? What do we need to know about Georgia right now, however many days away we are from kickoff? I guess we're still over 100.
Well, I think for the young guys and the early enrollees that Georgia had, just getting that spring experience was tremendously valuable. Now, unfortunately, lost Devod Wilson. I don't know if that's going to be for the season. I know Mark Webb got hurt, too. Hopefully, he'll be able to go in August. I don't know if that's the official word or not, but it looked like he had certainly made a climb. But this is a talented team, and I think when you look at those seniors on the defense with Baker, Walker, Patrick, and Ledbetter, you've got a lot of talent over there. That's some veteran talent. There's a lot of youth that's going to be sliding into those heir apparent roles. And I think, again, when you look at this season, the expectations are going to be high. You know, probably not what they're going to be for 2019 or for 2020. And the thinking around the league seems to be that Georgia's absolutely a contender in 2018, probably be the favorite in 2019 or 2020. But who knows? I don't think Georgia will be as good as last season. But that's no reason that the Bulldogs can't have a similar record and make a similar run.
Some of these, these individual performances with the game, whose would we buy and whose would we sell? Like, the receiving, Godwin, Ridley, and Hardman, that's the top three at receiver, right?
I would say so, yes.
So when you look at, Akeel Crumpton had 5 catches, Tyler Simmons had 3, Jason Stanley had 4, as far as some of those next guys in the receiving core, who do we buy and who are we just thinking, well, all right, spring game?
Yeah, and also Matt Landers had a touchdown catch here too. I think right now those guys are fighting who's going to be that fourth receiver when Georgia goes to the 4 wide. And there'll be some newcomers that'll have a say in there too. I know Kyrus Jackson came in early as well. But I think that's what that battle is there. For the quarterback situation, Jake Fromm's going to be the starter, but Justin Fields is going to play.
You sure about that, Jeff? He had a catastrophic turnover. He threw a pick six.
Did you hear DeAndre Baker had a great pick six?
Georgia had a knot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In one play, Georgia had a catastrophic turnover and a knot.
It's like, wait, which side am I cheering for here? I think when you look at the numbers he put up, Monty Rice's game, again, we're not going to have another Roquan Smith. The guy's a once-in-a-generation type talent linebacker, but you do have to have those heir apparents, and that doesn't mean you can't fill that position with a good player. So I think Monty Rice's game was a huge plus. And now all of a sudden, I get it was just a spring game, but he had 14, 15 tackles. So then, yeah, you're feeling pretty good about him. You feel good about Patrick and Walker, 2 seniors at those spots. So now all of a sudden, between Walter Grant, Brenton Cox got to play in the spring, Adam Anderson coming in, all of a sudden you feel like, boy, we lost a lot of juice at linebacker, but we could still be okay there, which kind of go. I think linebacker, Chris, would you agree, could that be a microcosm for the whole team? I mean, Georgia lost a tremendous amount of talent there with Smith headlining it and then Bellamy and Carter on the outside, and also Reggie Carter, who's a very good player on the inside. But there are still good players coming back. You got Walker, Patrick, Monty Rice, Walter Grant, and really good players coming in. When you look at Quay Walker, at Channing Tindall, at Cox, at Adam Anderson, assuming those guys play on the outside. So I think the thing at that linebacker position could be similar. Odds are not going to be as good as the unit was last year. Could that unit in 2019 and 2020 be as good or better? Maybe so.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's still not going to be a good enough unit in 2018 for Georgia to have a very good season. So I just kind of look at the linebacker position and think that could be a microcosm of what this team could be in 2018.
Like the outside linebacker, too, with DeAndre Walker, it's, that might be a little bit ahead of maybe the inside guys right here at the start. But,
sure.
Because Walker had a huge year last year. And
he did.
He had a nice game on Saturday, too. Again, it comes back to the, with Walker, it's just, he's proved that he's not just a product of offenses focusing the majority of their attention on like Lorenzo Carter and Roquan Smith. But
I thought in the Tech game, Roquan won. He might have been our second most valuable player against Tech.
Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had 2 sacks Saturday and 5 tackles.
He's really good.
But yeah, even in the with the secondary where J.R. Reed is and DeAndre Baker, who had the knot, he had the big pick six up front with Ledbetter and Tyler Clark. It just for all the talk of seem to be coming out of, the offense is ahead of the defense. The offense is ahead of the defense. Maybe the message was delivered to the defense because they showed up on Saturday. But I don't know. Even with what Georgia has to replace defensively, I'm not worried that Georgia's going to have anything other than an above average defense this year.
No, I think so too, Chris. And it's exciting. And I think too, when you look at those players who decided to come back. And you're talking about Ledbetter there. You're talking about Walker. You know, if Natrez Patrick can stay in a good place, and then obviously with DeAndre Baker, I mean that's four really good senior players there. And you know, we talk about guys being guys. Those guys were all big time recruits.
Right.
If they play to their potential and the way they have played throughout their career, if they play at that absolute high level the whole time, hey, that's enormous. Because you know, then all of a sudden you start there. Well, let's say all four of those guys or three of them had decided to go pro or hadn't come back, you'd be a lot more shaky. But then when you start looking at it, and again, I get it that Patrick missed most of the season. I get it Walker didn't start, but then all of a sudden, I mean, those guys you would agree are starter caliber players. And that they have played a lot. So then all of a sudden you start thinking, boy, that's a really good senior defensive end. That's two really good senior linebackers and a really good senior at corner. That's a good nucleus for a defense that has a tremendous amount of young talent coming in.
Yeah. Baker was the one guy that I felt probably had a bit of a decision to make as to whether or not to come back and turn pro that, because Roquan you knew was going. And the other guys are all seniors, but Baker was the one guy that that almost might have been just as a big a hole as any if he had decided to turn pro.
No, I agree with you. I mean, he
Isaac Nauta had three catches. Do we trust that the tight ends are going to be thrown to now?
I think so, because I think, Chris, the offensive line is going to be a lot better. So Georgia
will need them.
Yeah, Georgia's not going to have to lean on the tight ends to block as much in pass protection.
Now his freshman season, he had a lot of target. In fact, I think his freshman season, he was the second most targeted player on Georgia's offense. So,
I agree.
Last year his looks were down a little bit, but I liked his attitude about it. He still says he was better as a sophomore than he was as a freshman.
Absolutely.
This is the most important stat. It was 12-1 SEC champs.
You got that. And state champions also.
And state champs. And Rose Bowl champs. And then there was that other game. All right, moving on in today's 5 at 5. Jeff, the NFL had its big schedule release last week. Have you looked at the Falcons yet and decided what Atlanta's record is going to be?
I don't even need to look at it. They're going to go about 12-4, and they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Ooh, wow. Are you serious?
They're Super Bowl bound.
12-4.
Maybe that's a bit ambitious. I know they've got a tough because they open at Philly.
Yeah.
Do you have it in front of you?
Yep.
I'm trying to find a picture for you. We're talking about the linebackers. A buddy of mine sent me one of Adam Anderson from the state track meet.
Mm.
Like it, just in one of those tank tops.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see in the background there's a kid who's obviously a distance runner. They like look like they're not of the same. It's kind of like when Letterman.
Distance runner's real thin.
It was like when Letterman put that picture up of Cindy Crawford next to Larry Bud Melvin and said, these are both carbon-based life forms.
Right, yeah.
I got to dig this thing up for you. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Saturday is, Anderson's not even here yet. Is he still running track? But he should play this fall.
Yeah, he will play this fall. Yes.
Yeah, so the Falcons open at Philly. Then you go home games, Carolina, New Orleans, and Cincinnati, three straight at home. Then go to Pittsburgh. Then Tampa and the Giants at home. So there's a lot of home games early in the year. Here's what I think is a key to Atlanta's schedule. They've got two instances of back-to-back travel, but the second leg in each case is one is at Cleveland and the other is at Tampa.
No problem.
So if you got to be on the road 2 weeks in a row, then getting to face the Browns and Bucks on the tail end of those is probably ideal. But, I was looking saying last week that when half the games the Falcons will play this year against defenses that were top 10 a year ago and also top 10 pass efficiency defenses. So as far as the strength of Atlanta goes, which is that passing game, that is going to be the strength of about half of the opponents that Atlanta faces. So it's a sneaky tough schedule. I think Atlanta, they go 10-6 this year.
Okay.
Still make it back to the playoffs.
Well, I think Atlanta did a great job to make it to the playoffs last year, but I think they're going to come back fully loaded. Here, grab that real quick. But they're going to come back fully loaded this season, recharged, and they're explosive. And I think that young defense has gotten a year older. So I like Atlanta to have a great season and get back to the Super Bowl this
that
year.
That shirt, it doesn't even fit them.
That's a heck. Did you see the kid in
the
background?
Yeah,
the kid too?
In the background.
It's like, yeah, that guy's going to be good.
Adam Anderson?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I figured that out when he was chasing Justin Fields around in that one high school game they played.
You know what we need to – I'm sure we can find that somewhere. Somebody could find it for us. Maybe when we're in the doldrums of say, June or July, we might need to just pull that game up and watch it.
Yeah, Harrison and Rome.
Yeah, because that's two elite five stars.
Yeah, those are my top two guys I wanted.
Sure.
And we got him.
Yeah, I mean, you know who my number one was.
Yeah, Zamir White.
That's elite tailback.
I think he's going to be playing against Austin Peay.
Tech. He'll be ready for Tech.
He'll be ready for Tech because he'll have played in like 11 games before that.
He looks the part.
Yeah. Fly is open. Let's go, Zamir. by the beard of Zeus. All right, Jeff, moving on in the 5-5, the NFL draft gets underway this Thursday, and let's do one final quarterbacks ranking. Now that the draft process is over, plus we watched these guys actually play football in their college careers.
Well, I can't say I watched Josh Allen play.
I saw him play.
Did you watch a bowl game?
No. I watched them play Iowa last year.
Okay.
He
wasn't very good, was he? And then that game.
He was not. Nor was he. This is now my new favorite stat of this draft. You know, there's been so much made about Josh Allen's completion percentage. I did not realize this. You know, he played a year of junior college, right?
Oh, really?
And his completion percentage at his 1 year in junior college was 49%.
Yikes.
At Reedley Community College. Well, so his completion percentages were 49, 56, and 56.3. But that first one, 40, this is a guy that in community college completed less than half of his passes.
And that's one of those, it was so hard, he didn't have good protection. Yeah, but when you throw that in with his college stats,
Cam Newton, when he was at Blinn Junior College, he did just fine. Yeah.
It's kind of like really good pitchers. There might be a given year where you didn't get run support or, you know, you just had some bad luck or you got some no decisions and maybe you went 13 and 11 years. But over like 5-6 years, if you're around a 500 pitcher, you're an average pitcher.
Yeah. And if you're completing less than 50% of your passes at Reedley Community College, the NFL is not going to work out for you.
No. That's not to say that he doesn't have a chance or somebody shouldn't take him. But if you're the historically bad Cleveland Browns, which they are because they're only the second team to go 0-16, and they preceded that with a 1-15, you cannot take that guy first.
They're going to, though, aren't they?
It sounds like it because the more stuff I read, I was looking through some draft analysts' analysis. A lot of S's in there. It's like, oh, but you just God doesn't make too many that look like that. Or just go the body, the arm, the hands.
Yeah, 6'5", 237.
I like your plan.
Guy completed 49% of his passes at Reedley Community College.
That's not a good sign. Just take two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I thought that was a joke, but the guy that's on before us, Will Cain.
He's a basketball coach at LSU, right?
Who?
No, that's Will Wade.
Will Wade, yeah. But no, this Will Cain, he was talking about that today too, that maybe the Browns should just take a quarterback at 1-4. I'm like, "Hey, that was our idea."
Well, Dari,
they should just draft. What if they should use every one of their picks in this draft on a quarterback? I mean, one of them's bound to turn out.
Dari Noka stole our segment there, too.
Oh, about Pruitt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, If everyone catches on to the fact that Phil Fulmer is going to be their head coach again at some point, then we know they're really listening.
Mayfield would be my number one quarterback, Rosen two.
All right, who's three?
Probably Lamar Jackson.
All right. And then four? Darnold?
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. And then five, not Josh Allen?
I guess Darnold and Allen then.
Yeah.
Darnold might grow into being a really good player. I know he was outstanding his first year starting there.
You know, he's only 20. He's young.
Right. So, but he's not ready to get thrown in and start for an awful team.
No, that's the key with Darnold.
I mean, for his development, he should have gone back to USC. But if he's potentially the number one pick, I get it. You're going to make a lot of money. But also now these guys are pretty much – they're playing for that second contract too. Because, I mean, to me, the money's still going to be there next year, and it's going to be the same. He just does not look ready at all to me. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but he looked terrible against Ohio State. And if you're getting fooled by a Big Ten's defensive schemes, a Big Ten teams, the NFL's going to eat him alive. He is clearly not ready. And to me, if you're 1-15 and 0-16, and if I'm a fan of said team, and I've got the number four overall picks, I'm sure expected both of those guys to step right in and play. I mean, that'd be like, I mean, let's say if it was college and we finished last in the SEC but signed two of the top five freshmen in the conference, I'd expect him to come in and play.
But maybe the clowns are already thinking that that's not going to be the case, because they do have Tyrod Taylor there now.
So which might lead you to think that they're going to take Darnold or Allen.
Yes.
If they've got Taylor.
Well, I would take Darnold over Allen.
Yeah, because he played at USC.
Yeah, and he is only 20.
That's another good point.
And he didn't complete 49% of his passes at some place called Reedley Community College.
Where's Mayfield going?
I can't see him getting out of the top five. So many teams need quarterbacks.
And again, we talked about this before, not only the bad teams, but you got Pittsburgh, New England, and the Chargers, and the Saints, all with legendary great quarterbacks who are long in the tooth.
Yeah.
They're looking too.
I could see him, though, ending up with, like, the Jets.
Boy, he just – with his flamboyancy –
yeah.
New Broadway Baker.
Broadway Baker. Bring him. Hey, you know, that's the thing. Joe Willie, he overcame that. His partying ways. He didn't overcome his partying ways. He just was decent when he played.
Absolutely. What if he winds up in Miami? Would that be – I think Roquan's going to the Raiders at 10, it sounds like. So no Roquan. Would Mayfield be the non-Georgia player you were most happy – to see the Dolphins take?
Yes, that would be ideal. But I can't see, if Roquan's there for Oakland, I can't see the Raiders not taking him. Right.
It would give them just another elite player with Khalil Mack. And I know they play different positions, but it's like, all right, well, you could put one on one side of the field, one on the other, put them both on the same side, and you're just wreaking havoc.
Yeah, and the Raiders' defense was not good last year.
No, that's where and they've got the quarterback and Carr. So
yeah,
I agree. I think that's where he's going.
Finally, Jeff, wrapping up the 5-5 with the PGA tournament this week in Zurich. It's called the Zurich Classic or whatever. It's in New Orleans, actually.
A little bit lower sea level than
a little bit lower. Yeah, they play in pairs, and Bubba Watson is playing with Matt Kuchar now. Jeff, what is the deal with that?
A house divided. That's just, oh man.
Do we give Bubba some break? I mean, Matt Stafford threw passes to Calvin Johnson.
Calvin's a really good guy too. He was kind of thrust upon Matt Stafford.
Right.
So actually, Stafford was thrust upon Calvin.
Sure.
Calvin was first.
Yeah. And Calvin was actually probably happy about that, too.
Yes, he was. Saying, like, golly, you know, I could have gone and played with Green, Shockley, and Stafford.
I don't have Dan Orlovsky here anymore.
Or Reggie Ball.
Yes.
I get it. Kuchar's a great guy and all that, but he still went to Tech, so that just grosses me out.
Well, what's the part where Bubba's playing with him, though?
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
House divided. Those bumper stickers gross me out.
But at least, what would be worse, if Bubba played with Kuchar or Patrick Reed?
Reed.
Okay. All right, there's the 5-5.
Kuchar is a nice, all accounts, he's a really good guy.
Right.
As my man Alan Miller said, hey, he only made one bad decision in his life.
That was go to Tech.
That was a really bad one, though.
Yeah, it's not good. All right, there's the 5-5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems More Than a System. A
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.